If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy, getting to more the second half of the New Testament. Find 2 Timothy. We are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in the month of January, as we as a church have been asking God's grace and help to make us a church ready to reach. The truth of the matter is that the mission of the church is to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach them to follow Jesus. Yet we too oftentimes have made church about something else, mainly ourselves. So we have to be exploring specific areas that God tells us in the Bible that we must focus on as we ask Him by the Spirit to make us a church ready to reach. There are lost people in our church and all around us each day who need to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God calls and equips His church to take Jesus to them. So the first week in this series, we talked about devoting ourselves to daily Bible intake, devoting ourselves to the fellowship, to passionate prayer, to expectant worship, and to being open-handed and open-hearted in love towards others, whether friend or foe, whether someone that is like you or someone that is different than you. Secondly, we talked about in the second week, we must be ready to talk about Jesus and to share our personal testimony of how Jesus has saved and changed our lives. And today, as we continue to seek in God's Word to make us ready to reach, I want us to explore the final marching orders to the church given by Jesus before He returned to heaven. In short, the order that Jesus gave us is to make disciples. In church terms, a lot of times we call this the Great Commission. It's spelled out to us very clearly in the book of Matthew. We'll show it on the screen here. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Here in Jesus' very last instructions to His disciples before Jesus went back to heaven, Jesus promises His authority and He promises His presence for His followers as they go and make disciples. Disciples, those who will identify with Christ in baptism, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and who will be taught by you to obey what Christ has commanded. You see, the very thing Jesus Christ told all His followers to be about, making disciples, is the very thing that many people who claim to be followers of Jesus say they absolutely have no clue how to do. Here's the great weakness of our churches in America. We have made the task of making disciples as a task for professionals. Pastors make disciples. Missionaries make disciples. Sunday school teachers make disciples. But me, I'm just Jobo Christian. I just attend the service and I give some money. Isn't that what Jesus wants me to do? When all the while, the call to make disciples was never given to a certain class of Christian, but to every follower of Jesus. If you were to say to me, "Pastor, I just don't feel the power and the presence of Jesus in my life like I believe I should," you know what I should ask you? Well, are you committed and actively making any disciples? Because that is the task that Jesus promised He would infuse His power, His authority, and His presence into. Making disciples. We're used to coming to events at church and more being spoon-fed Christianity from the sidelines. But this whole Ready to Reach series is about actually getting in the game. Personally following Jesus and leading others to follow Jesus. And look, see, Jesus did not say to simply make converts. We can make converts at an event. But the problem is, a convert with no discipleship has no reason to stick with Jesus and his church when life inevitably gets hard. It's emotional to make a convert, but we all know those emotions fade quickly. Have you ever been super excited about God when you walked out of these doors on Sunday just to get inundated with real life on Monday and kind of forget all about him? We need discipleship. People don't just need a ticket to heaven when they die. They need a plan of how to follow Jesus from here until that time, from now until that time. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and he's telling him how to make disciples. He's telling him what kind of commitment it's going to take to make disciples. And he's giving him a plan of how to faithfully endure making disciples throughout a lifetime. So let's read it together, starting in verse 1. Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." First point I want us to think through today is we are called by God to learn how to make disciples of Jesus. Learn how to make disciples of Jesus. Let me show you two things in these two verses that God has to equip you with in order to make disciples of Jesus. God's grace and relationship with people. That's it. God's grace and relationship with people. You know, Paul never talks about God's grace first as going to heaven when he dies. He never says, "God's grace saved me when I trusted in Christ so that I may go to heaven when I die." No, he always said it this way: "God's grace saved me when I trusted Christ so that I may go and share Christ with others and teach them how to follow him as well." Listen, if you've been saved by God through trusting Christ, yes, God has given you by his Holy Spirit the confidence that you are his child and that you will go to heaven when you die. But you have also been saved and empowered by God to share Jesus with others and to show them how to follow Jesus. Making disciples is not done in our power. It's done in the same way that we are saved, by trusting in God, that he's going to fulfill his promise. He promises that by his grace, he is going to give you the power to do what he's asked you to do. He's going to give you the power to make disciples. So who qualifies as a disciple maker? Everyone who's been saved by the grace of God. The command that God makes here is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as I said, that strength is not just a confidence to go to heaven when you die, but it's a confidence to be about the mission that Jesus has given you while you're still here on earth. So you have God's grace to empower you to make disciples. Even if you don't know how or what that looks like right now, you can believe that God's grace has given you the power to make disciples. Then the other thing we need is in verse 2, relationship with other people. Jesus had a plan for the message of his cross and resurrection to get to every nation on the globe. And what was that plan? Relationship with 12 guys. Jesus poured into 12 guys, and then he told them to go and find others and to share with them and to pour into them. And to encourage them to go and find others and to share with them and pour into them. That's how this whole mission is supposed to work. 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us. Paul told people the gospel and how to live with Jesus. And the people learned and then they went and taught others. And then they learned and they went and taught others. And listen, you don't need 12. That was Jesus, for goodness sake. I encourage you, just think about starting with one. And if you're married or you have children, you already have discipleship relationships pre-built into your life. You don't even have to walk out the front door to have a discipleship relationship. Now, hopefully you can expand your circle of influence, but just think about starting there. And listen, you don't have to have the gift of teaching to make a disciple. Making a disciple is a much different task than being an official Bible teacher. Jesus said to make disciples, They need to know Jesus. They need to identify with Jesus. And they need to learn to obey Jesus' commands. And I know that sounds like a lot, but remember, Jesus took over 600 commands in the Old Testament and summed them up by saying, love God and love others. So if you have a testimony in Christ, you are already halfway home in terms of making disciples. Making disciples does not mean teach someone the whole Bible verse by verse. It doesn't mean you have to be a Bible scholar. It means to help someone understand what you've come to understand. Help someone understand what it means to trust in Jesus for salvation. Help them understand how that means that God saves us not only from our sin, but he saves us into the church. So teach them about fellowship and how to give to the church. Talk about how to spend time in the Bible and prayer. Talk about how to serve others out of love for Jesus. Talk about sharing Jesus with others. So what I just said here, salvation, church, Bible and prayer time, serving and sharing your testimony. You share it with someone how to commit to Jesus like that, you're making a disciple. And you don't have to officially have this relationship where you're the discipler and someone else is a disciplee. It can be a mutually beneficial relationship where you both encourage and challenge one another in your walk with Christ. But listen, making a disciple is simply being intentional in a relationship to talk about Jesus, to share what's most important to you with someone else, and to encourage them and challenge them to walk with Jesus as well. Talk about things like salvation, church, Bible, prayer, serving and sharing. Every genuine follower of Jesus can do this. It's showing someone how to not just go to heaven when they die, but how to walk with Jesus while they live. I want us to destroy this idea that making disciples is only for some special class of Christian. You know, I heard a pastor use an analogy not long ago. Imagine that you're a bricklayer. That's what you do for your trade. You're a bricklayer, okay? And you've been laying bricks for 5 years. And now imagine there's this new guy and he doesn't know anything about bricklaying, but he wants to learn the ropes. And so he comes to you since you've been doing it for 5 years and he says, hey, can you just show me the ropes and bricklaying? Imagine that you told him, man, I can't teach you anything about bricklaying. I don't know anything about that. What should happen? You should probably be fired from your job. You're telling me that you've been laying bricks for 5 years and you can't teach anyone at least the fundamentals of how to do it? Imagine this person had been laying bricks for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. Man, I don't know how to lay no bricks. Well, you should be fired and get another job, right? No way. I mean, it just wouldn't pass. Men, can you imagine doing that in your own field? But listen, we have done this way too long in the Christian church. Some people have been going to church for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Yet if someone was to walk up to them and say, hey, I'm wanting to be saved and follow Jesus, can you show me how? What would you say? I'm afraid so many who've been in church for so long would still say, oh man, I don't know nothing about that. Go talk to the pastor. You've been in the church as long as you have, and you don't know how to show someone the ropes of following Jesus? You never pursued a relationship to share Jesus or so show someone else how to walk? What have you been doing? Maybe you need to ask yourself, do you really follow Jesus? Or are you just deceiving yourself and playing a church game? If you say you follow Jesus, but you're not actively helping anyone else follow Jesus, I simply don't know what you mean. So learn how to make disciples of Jesus. This is our joy. This is our calling as followers of Jesus. Those who have experienced God's grace desire that others might know and experience it as well. Verse 3, Paul moves on to now talk about the commitment it's going to take. Verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Number two, commit to making disciples. Listen, making disciples is a commitment. Jesus Christ suffered and sacrificed more than we can imagine to come and save us. And now we as his followers are called to suffer and sacrifice to help others know him and walk with him. This is a spiritual war that we have to engage in. You suffer and you sacrifice in ways that make life different than what it would be if you were in peacetime. Paul says in verse 4, he gives this picture of being a disciple and making disciples as a soldier. Soldiers don't get entangled in civilian pursuits because they're trying to please their commanding officer. In the same way, followers of Jesus are called to reorient their lives and their motivation around pleasing Christ and being about his mission of making disciples. The big takeaway for us is that we must limit distractions and focus on what matters for the kingdom of God. Building discipleship relationships takes time and effort. If you're going to commit to making a disciple, you're going to have to limit yourself in other ways. You're going to have less time for a hobby or a sport, less time for entertainment or news or social media. You're going to have to put those things on the back burner in order to focus time, energy, and effort on making disciples. You want to know what you really live for? Just look at your bank account and the way you spend your time. Those things will show you what matters most. Does the way that you use your resources of money and of time say that you're in the army of Jesus and you're about the task of making disciples? Or are you too caught up in hobbies or sports? Are you too caught up in politics and news? Are you too caught up in entertainment and social media? Listen, Satan is absolutely fine with you coming in here to give God an hour on Sundays as long as you're never compelled to really give him any more time the rest of the week. Don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. The war for the souls of men and the glory of God is waging. And as a believer in Christ, you are an empowered soldier in his army. Soldier. Paul then goes on to go from this picture of a soldier to the picture of an athlete. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The authority of Christ, the presence of Christ, and the blessings of Christ are all bound up in a commitment to doing things God's way. We cannot earn God's love and approval by following the rules. Understand that Jesus had to earn a righteous place for us with God. But when you genuinely trust Jesus for salvation, he gives you his Holy Spirit to now compel you by his grace to start doing things God's way. And he gives you a desire to. And you're not going to do it perfectly, but you are going to do it genuinely because of the Holy Spirit. Think about an athlete. An athlete can have all the skills and all the natural abilities and all the talents to succeed. But if they don't play by the rules of the game, they're never going to win. A follower of Jesus Christ may have every intention to honor Christ, but if they're not actually committed to doing what Jesus calls them to do and making disciples, there's no reward there. And listen, our Southern American Christian culture says that this is what you should do. Attend church service, at least semi-regularly. Give some money to the church. Own a Bible. Don't drink alcohol, or at least don't let others know that you do. Vote with religious convictions. And the rest of your life is good to do what you want to do, as long as you do those things. Right? Have you ever heard a religious country song? That's kind of how it spells it out, right? But the problem is that those are not the parameters that Jesus set in place for his followers. That's not competing in accordance with the rules in order to win. God's grace compels us to so much more, to living for Jesus that he set out, a way of living that's defined by a willingness to die to self and live to Christ, a passionate commitment to love and to bless even enemies, to be God's church and to serve God's church, to put sinful desires to death in your heart, to give generously to God's mission, to be a witness for Christ and to go and make disciples. Listen, it is a supernatural life that God calls us to, and we must find strength in God's grace alone. Listen, you could do the whole cultural church thing without God at all. But you can't even begin to compete according to the rules until you find the courage to lean into God's grace and actually start defining following Jesus by his commands and not just the culture. So we've heard Paul describe the commitment of making disciples as a soldier and an athlete. It takes focus. It takes intentionality. It takes courage. It takes following Christ's commands. And none of this can be done apart from leaning into God's grace. But I think this last picture of commitment that Paul gives us is a super important one. The picture of the hardworking farmer. You see, soldiers and athletes, yes, they have to be disciplined and follow the rules, but they're pretty cool jobs. They're pretty exciting at times. But the hardworking farmer never receives fame or recognition. He does his job. He's faithful to the work, and he's patient to work on the fruit of his labor. He's patient to wait on the fruit of his labors. And he will be rewarded for his faithfulness. You see, many of us experience moments of spiritual excitement where we get excited about Jesus and begin to change certain things in our lives. But then life happens and spiritual excitement wanes. And that's normal and natural. No one can live on a spiritual mountaintop all the time. It's not always going to feel like, you know, Christian summer camp when you got back from Christian summer camp as a youth and you're like, this is it. I'm never going back. It's Jesus and no one else, right? That's how you feel. But by Wednesday or Thursday, that feeling isn't as strong anymore, right? And that's okay. But what we must do is we have to cultivate a consistent faithfulness like the hardworking farmer. A farmer doesn't always want to get up when the rooster crows, but he faithfully does it. And he faithfully goes out and again does his job, believing that at the right time, the crops will grow. And it's the same way with making disciples. Listen, as I've tried to make disciples, as I've known others who are about this task, yeah, sometimes it's exciting and great. But a lot of times it's just being faithful to relationships that God's put in your life and speaking about Jesus when you get the opportunity. And it's just about investing in the relationships that God's already given you. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Listen, a life of making disciples is sacrificial, it's difficult, it's sometimes very slow. But we have been given the promise of unimaginable reward in the life to come. So are you committed to making disciples of Jesus? Let us never forget that this is all about Jesus. This is the pattern that Jesus lined out for every one of us. And it doesn't mean that you have to go on a mission trip overseas or you have to whatever else that kind of conjures up in our minds when we think about making disciples. A lot of it is just becoming intentional with the relationships God's already given us. Let's read how Paul ends this passage pointing to Jesus. You say, Pastor, I need a little encouragement. This idea might be a little new for me, or it's pretty challenging. Listen, there is no better encouragement than what Paul gives at the end of the passage. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Final point, endure in making disciples of Jesus. Endurance. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. You see, who Jesus is and what Jesus has done is the central core foundation of all that we are as believers. And it's the central core foundation of sharing Jesus with anyone else or making a disciple. Jesus, God, who rose from the dead. Also, the man who was the promised offspring of David. Jesus, the one who died for our sins, who rose from the grave, who conquered sin and death. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again to judge the wicked and reward the righteous who have trusted him. Listen, people do not come to God by being good people or doing certain rituals. In order to be saved by God, one must hear, understand, and believe who Jesus is and what he has done. Simply telling people God bless you or have a blessed day, those are good things, but they're not saving anyone's soul. The soul is only saved by a faith-filled understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yet Paul tells us to remember him here because we have the tendency to forget. We have the tendency to make spirituality about something else other than a relationship with the God-man Jesus. But Paul says that sharing who Jesus is and what he has done is the very reason that he is suffering, and it's the very reason he is in prison. You see, Satan doesn't mind vague religiosity. He doesn't mind God talk. We hear God talk a lot in our world, in our culture, in our country. But he hates the truth about Jesus that saves a soul. While Paul is suffering and imprisoned for the word of God, he wants to encourage his people in this: God's word is not bound. So we are called to endure and make disciples as the word of Christ is not bound. Isaiah promises us that the word of God will go forth and it will accomplish all that God pleases for it to. This is a battle that cannot be lost. This is a mission that has guaranteed victory. Listen, living for Jesus and making disciples may be difficult and costly, but God's word is never bound and you can never lose. You might lose a friendship or lose some rights or lose your reputation, but if you're committed to sharing Jesus, his word will go forth and it will not be bound. It will accomplish all that God intends it to. Pandemics and governments cannot stop God's word from going forth. I've told you this before, but Voltaire, he was a French atheist philosopher in the 1900s. And he was very pleased with the way France was going. They were turning away from silly beliefs such as God. He was so confident in how fast the word of God was becoming irrelevant that he said that within a century, the Bible would not even be remembered. Well, over 100 years later, Voltaire is long dead. Yet his old house is now being used by the French Bible Society in printing and distributing Bibles, God's word, across the country of France. God's word will go forth and accomplish all that it means to. A lot of things can be canceled. A church service can be canceled. Our lives can change. But God's word can never be canceled. It will go forth and accomplish all that it means to. I tell you this one a lot, but it's so encouraging. In communist China, during the years of the 20th century, where the Chinese people had no access to the rest of the world, and all the foreign missionaries had been thrown out of China, Christians in the West wondered that if we ever got back into China, if there would be any believers left. Yet in amazement, the West would come to find out that in that time where China was so closed down, they had no access to the outside world, a few thousand believers had turned into 10 million under the heavy hand of communism. Why? because the Word of God is not bound. You try to shut it out, and it only moves further and quicker. The Word of God is not bound. Listen, discipleship feels slow at times, but it is guaranteed to succeed in accomplishing all that Christ desires it to. Paul completes the section with words that most likely were a popular hymn of the church at that time. This song about Jesus, it says this: if we've died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It reminds me of Jesus saying that a good tree with good roots is going to bear good fruit, but a bad tree with bad roots is going to bear bad fruit. The world wants to make everything gray, but following Jesus is black and white. It's knowing the truth about who he is and what he has done, and it's giving yourself to share it and be a part of God's mission to others. Would you bow your heads with me?